Hola y gracias por volar en la aerolínea aérea de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también Green Card. El vuelo de esta noche estaremos presentando diarrea.
Phil Henry Show, we're going to go to an alternate number tonight. If you're calling the program tonight, 1-800-520-1534, 1-800-520-1534, because our national line, the other line that we have used, ain't working tonight. And I suspect it's because last week we were doing afternoon drive in Los Angeles. I'll never do it again. And we had to direct our 1-800 line to 4 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock Pacific. And it's a whole lot of stuff that you don't need to worry about. But the bottom line is this. Anytime you throw a curveball at the phone company, rest assured something is going to go wrong. Because they can't deal with it, man. They can't deal with it. Forget about Y2K. Forget about whether there's going to be problems at Y2K. These guys are walking around in a fog 365 days a year. And I don't care what company you're talking about. Is it any wonder that people greedily and hungrily consume alternative ways of communicating like the internet when we're dealing with the same old guy with a sandwich and a cup of coffee, and he pulls a plug here and he puts another plug in there because he's off in a couple hours, and what difference does it make to him? And that's what we're dealing with here the week after Christmas. My Y2K problem is already hit. I don't have to wait for New Year's, man. I ain't got no national line. So if you want to get into a panic, go ahead, start panicking. Phil Henry's national line is down because some guy at the phone company, and I know the phone company, but I won't mention their name because, you know, they'll get their feelings hurt. And they'll call up my boss and say, why is that guy talking bad about us? Well, never mind that you're screwing my show up 6 ways to sunset tonight. Because you can't put a plug back in after you pull it out. I got to go to an alternate line tonight, 1-800-520-1534. I could be anywhere but here having way more fun. I could be at home with my wife, who has the whole week off because the kids aren't around. I could be out buying my friends Mike Crozier and Mike Schaefer a couple of Pimm's cups and maybe a little Don Julio, showing them that new Globe bar I got. We could put on my Picasso tie, do goofs in the mirror or something, take pictures of each other. And I got people calling in now, and they don't even know what they're calling in for. They're just playing with the phone. Oh, you gave out a phone number, Madge. Call the number. See if it works. So anyway, tonight we'll use this number, 1-800-520-1534. And then tomorrow night, when we go back to our regular number, we'll confuse you even more with a different number tomorrow night. Because, quote, we were assured this afternoon at 4 o'clock that the national number was up and running and doing well. End of quote. It's like out here in California, there's a thing called GTE. Nice people, great people. I've mentioned them on my show many times. Very nice people. Very nice. But as a phone company, they're horrible. They're just horrible. And everyone knows it. No one will give me an argument about it. Not even GTE will give me an argument about it. But I have a hard time really dissing them on the air because they're nice guys. Every time I call them up, they say, geez, Mr. Henry, we're sorry. They're always there, Johnny on the spot, returning my phone calls, talking to me, telling me what the problem is. I'm sorry we couldn't get a crew over there. But they just flat suck. You know, so it's not a thing about personalities. It's not a thing about disliking the entities involved in the actual construct of the organization. It's just their best efforts don't seem to get anything done. And of course, then you have to ask the question, are you sure you're in the right business? Maybe there's something else you'd like to do. Maybe you'd like to open up a Yoo-hoo stand or maybe an Orange Bang concession. Maybe you want to get out of the phone business and start pushing some of that Otter Pops. And they look at you and they, well, you know, you may be right, Mr. Henry. Maybe they, yeah, because you cats ain't getting it done with this phone thing. I'm telling you. Same thing tonight. Back from vacation, I knew this would happen. We were doing a different air shift last week. All you guys listening to us nationally, you were listening to a tape. If you were trying to get through last week and the thing was ringing off the hook and nobody was answering it, especially because you were listening to a tape from our afternoon drive show here in Los Angeles. And why was I doing the afternoon drive show in Los Angeles? I have no idea. I don't know why I ever said yes to it. But I will say thank you very much to the guys in L.A. for having confidence in me and letting me, excuse me, do that. That's a very nice gesture. I appreciate it. But what it did effectively is slice this national show to ribbons. But I ain't got no cold, at least. I didn't get this flu. I don't have the beriberi. We ain't got the fever. Things are going pretty good. Okay, let me get my pal Doug Danger in, whatever it is I'm trying to say. Let's get him in here. Doug, how are you?
Phil, I think I'm doing a little bit better than you are tonight.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program with us tonight. You can hear that even the newsmaker line we have this evening has got a little scratchy quality to it. But we did want to have you on because it is the end of the year and it is the end of the millennium, more to the point. And everybody has lists, right?
Absolutely. And I was reading Time Magazine's choice of person of the century, Albert Einstein, which has created some controversy. And I know anytime you do these lists, Phil, it creates controversy, and you never have two people agreeing on any one thing when it comes to which was the best movie, who was the greatest actor. So I took a shot at it, and I think our list is honest. I think it's fair. I think my look at the best films of the last millennium are films that I think people will look at, and if they give it a good, honest look, and I'll tell you, because of the fact that since I came out of the closet a couple of years ago, Phil, and admitted my homosexuality to not only my colleagues in the entertainment critic business, but also to my reading public, I think that I've learned what honesty can do. And as a gay man and also as a gay journalist, I have always valued standing up and being counted, and even if you're going against the flow, to be as honest as you possibly can.
So you're not looking to be a part of the crowd. You're looking to be away from the crowd.
No, you're not even looking to be away from the crowd. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, what I'm trying to do is just be honest, and I think that we've come up with a very honest list.
All right, these are the top 10 films of the last millennium, as picked by Doug Danger. Go.
All right, Phil. Again, these are very unusual, but I think all of these films represent a different level of filmmaking and a different level of creating in film. And you can talk about a lot of movies from the standpoint of technical excellence, performance, direction, story. I think all of these movies have it all. Technical excellence, story, special effects, what have you. And for me, these are the top 10 movies of the last millennium here from Doug Danger with the Orange County Courier. And I'm going to be publishing these tomorrow as well, Phil, in my column.
All right, so if you missed this tonight, look in the Orange County Courier tomorrow for Doug Danger's column.
Number 10. I wish we had a drum roll of some kind.
Do we have a drum? That's a good. Do we have a drum roll over there, Mike? Just a number 10. Hold on for just. I have. I don't know. I. You know what? It's almost worth getting a drum roll because it is kind of a dramatic rolling out. And by the way, we need to get that line fixed from Orange County as well. We're just having a technical problem here this evening. So, Doug, we'll look for a drum roll.
I think a drum roll would be nice just to roll out these top 10 movies the last 1,000 years.
Okay. We'll get a drum roll together for you. We'll get you on another phone line. We'll see whether or not our other 800 number is working. I'll go have myself a couple of more shots of Don Julio Blanco with the Sangrita. Mike will get himself another beer. I'll walk into the back very quietly. Down a bottle of pills and see if we can't get this thing rolling. 1-800-520-1534. That's 1-800-520-1534 is our alternate number this evening. And let's see if this is the one that'll. Doug, how's that work?
That sounds pretty good, Phil.
Okay, that'll be the drum roll we use when we come back. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-520-1534. Phil Henry here, 1-800-520-1534. 520-1534. All right, so on the line is Doug Danger, and I think we got a little bit better line from Orange County this evening. He's the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier newspaper, and we have Doug's picks for the top 10 films of the millennium. By the way, big weekend for Any Given Sunday.
Absolutely. I think that surprised a lot of people, Phil, because I think a lot of people thought that the Al Pacino-Oliver Stone collaboration might not be the end-all, be-all for sporting films, especially since it looks as if Oliver Stone had tapped himself creatively, and people had grown a little weary of his his historical recreations or fabrications, if you will. But I'll tell you, the most surprising thing about this weekend is that Any Given Sunday did as well as it did, and Man on the Moon, which is the Jim Carrey vehicle about Andy Kaufman, really disappointed.
Why? Because it came in sixth place in the money, or?
Well, I thought for one night, that one night take it did there, $6 million, whatever it was. I thought it was way lower than people thought.
All right, let's get to Doug Danger's picks, top 10 movies of the millennium, and we'll go ahead and roll it out. This is what, Doug?
Number 10. Okay, Phil. I think the number 10. Greatest film of the last millennium was Lion King, and I'll tell you why.
Interesting.
I really do. I think it was a wonderful combination of animation, drama, story, a good story, a viable story about environment, and a story about family. I thought it had great performances from Jeremy Irons, from James Earl Jones, terrific performances from Whoopi Goldberg, Cheech Marin, Matthew Broderick. It was very original. I think Lion King is definitely number 10 on my list of the top 10 movies of the last millennium.
Okay, and number 9.
All right, Phil, number 9 is definitely 101 Dalmatians. Let me tell you why. 101 Dalmatians starring Glenn Close is a recreation. I'm talking about the live-action drama, a recreation of the animated film from the late 1950s. Glenn Close stars as the Cruella de Vil. It was a film that was taken from the very childlike areas of animation and moved into a mainstream, powerful portrayal of good versus evil, of wealth versus the have-not, class struggle. And I think it's probably one of Ms. Close's greatest performances because it was a wonderful portrayal of Cruella de Vil. It was very cartoony, obviously, but I think she did a great job. 101 Dalmatians.
But I mean the ninth greatest movie of the last millennium.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got no problems with that.
All right, that was number 9. So number 10, The Lion King. Number 9, 101 Dalmatians. And here is number 8.
Number 8, greatest film of the last 1,000 years, Old Yeller. I think everybody remembers this tale as a film that...
Old Yeller, now... All right.
Yes, what?
Okay. So far, what we have here are films that I think are probably a little unorthodox.
Well, I think they're unorthodox. But let me tell you, Old Yeller is a film that is tear-jerking. It's a film that was a movie that I think it had everybody... It pulled everybody's heartstrings. It was about loyalty. And it was an environmental film because it was a film, again, about an animal and man's loyalty to an animal. I think it's unusual. I think you have to look at the unusual nature of these films. So number 10, Lion King. Number 1, 101 Dalmatians. And number 8, Old Yeller.
All right, let's go to number 7.
Number 7, Mary Poppins. Now, I think that...
Okay, hold on for just a second, because you've named off now 1, 2, 3, 4. All of these films are Disney...
Can I finish? Or are you going to start to critique?
I'm sorry, you're right.
Okay. When we get done, we could probably get into this, Phil, but I'd like to finish out.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Number 7 is Mary Poppins, a terrific fantasy, a fantasy starring Julie Andrews, Dick Van Dyke. I think this was a wonderful showcase for the very underrated talents of Dick Van Dyke, who is a physical actor in a comedic sense, and Julie Andrews did a good job bringing that fantasy to life. Again, a very unusual movie, and the reason why I think it's the 7th greatest film of the last millennium is because you find a sort of childlike innocence that you don't find in most of these movies today. You know, nowadays you don't get this, but that was great. So, number 7, Mary Poppins.
Okay, number 7. So, number 10, The Lion King. Number 9, 101 Dalmatians. Number 8, Old Yeller. Number 7, Mary Poppins. Here is number 6.
Phil, number 6 is Snow White.
And I knew it.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right. Because what we want to do here, Phil, is that...
You're absolutely right. I made an editorial comment. I said I knew it because everything here is a Disney movie, and I think that...
Well, Phil, let me just finish out. Snow White, you know, your comments are interesting, but I... Oh, boy, I'm a film critic, and I'd like to do what I'm doing. Snow White is...
You're absolutely right.
All right. Snow White, I think, is the sixth greatest film of the last millennium because it was the first great animated feature. You can't argue with this film in terms of the fantasy, in terms of the warmth, in terms of the theme, the quality of the animation, the milestone effort that was put into this by Walt Disney. I think Snow White, definitely the sixth greatest film of the last 1,000 years.
Number five.
Flubber. Here is a movie that...
Oh, man.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Here is a movie that brought science fiction on a collision course with comedy. And I think it was a good film because Flubber showed up Fred McMurray's talents as a comedic actor long before My Three Sons.
And now, this is the sequel to Absent-Minded Professor.
That's right. It is. Absent-Minded Professor was the first Flubber movie. But Flubber, or Son of Flubber, was the second Flubber movie, and I think it brought the idea into sharper focus, what they were going for comedy-wise. And I think it was just a wonderful film. So number five movie is Flubber.
Number four.
Number four is Tron, and that's a good film. It's a good animation film, and it's a great film, a commentary on the computers and everything.
All right, we're running out of time here. What other, you have any other Disney movies that you...
Phil, you know something? I wish you'd allow me...
No, because it's very obvious to me that you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Disney movies. I can only imagine that the next 3 movies are going to be Disney movies.
If you'd let me finish...
I bet you the next three...
If you'd let me finish, then you'll see what the next 3 movies are going to be.
Okay, here we go. Number 3.
Okay, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
There you go. A Disney movie.
I thought the first thing I want to say is Bedknobs and Broomsticks, again, brings the idea of fantasy on a collision course with reality to a sharper focus, much better than Mary Poppins. That's why I like that movie. Okay?
Okay, great. And here comes number 2.
Number 2, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Great Jules Verne, a vehicle brought to life by Disney. A tremendous, tremendous effort.
All right, very quickly, number 1.
Okay, number 1. The Shaggy D.A., starring Dean Jones.
All right. I got to take a break here.
Wait a second, I want to take...
I'll take a break. We'll come back with Doug and find out why he thinks The Shaggy D.A. is the greatest film of the last 1,000 years, starring Dean Jones. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-520-1534.
Добрый день. Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 200 тысяч фит. И еще водка.
We're working with an alternate number this evening. We shift back to our old number tomorrow night. If we shift back to our old number tomorrow night, I hope you won't be too confused. But our phones went down. Why? I'll tell you why. Y2K! No. I don't know. Some screw-up at the phone company. That's what it is. There is no Y2K bug, guys. There's just some dumbass at the phone company. When the water doesn't work and the lights don't work and you can't get, you can't go to the bathroom properly, whatever the hell you think is going to happen to you on January 1st, it's not a Y2K bug. It's just some dumbass who didn't plug something in when he was supposed to. It'll be human error, I guarantee you, if anything happens, which, of course, we all know it won't. Now, let me get back to Doug Danger, who has rolled out his top 10 movies of the last 100 years, and they're all Disney movies.
Phil, let me just say a couple of things here. First of all, I think these are all legitimate films.
You think they're all legitimate films. The number 10 movie, you got Lion King, 101 Dalmatians, Old Yeller, Mary Poppins, Snow White, Flubber, Tron, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and then you said The Shaggy D.A. is the greatest film made of the last 100 years. Starring Dean Jones.
I think the guy is very underrated.
Dean Jones.
Absolutely. I think Dean Jones, one of the most underrated actors of the last in the history of the film business. I think he is very, very underrated. I think he is very, very undervalued. I think he gives 100% commitment with every one of his performances. I think he has been a quality performer in all of his films. And if we had more actors like Dean Jones, we'd have, I think, far more wonderfully vibrant, wonderfully emotive and compelling films to watch. I really do.
Dean Jones.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question. Why don't you like Dean Jones?
I didn't say that I didn't like Dean Jones. I didn't say that I didn't like him at all. I think that for these films, he was great. I never saw him do anything other than this. What, did he ever do anything dramatic?
He did many things dramatic. He was in the movie... he was in, like, a horror movie or something.
Well, what did he do that was dramatic? I saw him do Shaggy D.A. I saw him do Herbie the Love Bug.
A great performance. And I know it's a comedy. I know it's by Disney, but it's a great performance.
Well, what did he do that was dramatic?
He did, like, a horror movie or something. He did that really good horror movie. I can't remember the name of it right now. But it was a great horror movie. I think it was The Fly or something.
I don't recall him doing anything dramatic. All right, let me go to Concord, North Carolina. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about this. I don't know why this guy's so hung up on Disney movies when there's been so many great movies that have been released over the past millennium. I mean, there's, like, when he's talking about good versus evil and ideas like that, I mean, there's movies like Clockwork Orange where, you know, Malcolm McDowell made a portrayal of evil, and it's like true form. And I mean, and that right there to me says more to me than, you know, Cruella de Vil and, you know, 1001 Dalmatians ever would. I mean, you
well,
know,
that's true. I think
like
however,
2001 Space Odyssey, stuff
I think,
like that.
I think, however, if you're going to look at, yeah, Clockwork Orange does deal with good and evil, but I think 101 Dalmatians does it in a less preachy way. I think Kubrick preached too much in that movie. I think 101 Dalmatians gives you it's a little bit of fun. Okay.
I think you're breaking it down.
Are you saying that 101 Dalmatians is a superior movie to Clockwork Orange?
Yes, I am.
You're kidding.
There is no way. I mean, you're talking about kids' movies, I can understand. Like,
no,
a kid would be more able to watch 1001 Dalmatians than he would be able to watch Clockwork Orange. But, you know, Clockwork Orange, I mean, that's truly what people are, that's like a true representation of, like, evil. I mean,
I wouldn't say that. I think 101 Dalmatians, I think Clockwork Orange is just every bit as fantastic as 101 Dalmatians. I mean, that's a futuristic society that we're talking about there. Okay? We're not talking about, you know, the Shaggy D.A. Let's take that. That's a comedy. Okay?
Which you say is the greatest movie in the history of films.
I do, because I think Dean Jones is very undervalued, very underrated. Have you seen, sir? Have you seen Dean Jones's film?
Yes, I've seen it. I mean, you know, when I was maybe 12 years old, I may have appreciated his work, but I just don't see it as comparing that against, like, I mean, when you've got people like Malcolm McDowell that can portray, like, a character that well and be able to have a true representation of how a person really reacts. I mean, Cruella de Vil was like a comedic character. That's a comedic version of what evil is.
Well, that's right. And
I mean, that's not a good representation of, like, that's not a good, like, you know, dramatic representation of evil. As, you know, if you're trying to look at a film that's going to tell you more about how people really are.
Right.
You're not going to watch 1001 Dalmatians because, I mean, people don't act like that in real life.
Well, I don't think a comedic representation of evil is any less valid than an overwrought dramatic, which I do. I think it was very overwrought what Kubrick did there. I love the purity of 101 Dalmatians and its statement on evil. It's more pure. I think the Glenn Close was more dead on, I think.
Pure? I mean, you're talking about a kid's table, a fable, as this guy was saying.
By being comedic, evil... It's more acceptable to the masses. It's more acceptable,
yeah, but I mean,
to the masses.
You know, if you're trying to understand the nature
flubber.
of the human spirit, I mean, I spent a lot of time in college studying philosophy and religion. And whenever you're trying to understand why it is people do the things they do, if you're looking at the example of Cruella de Vil instead of, like, a real example of, you know, somebody that can really portray, like, a really, you know, for example, I mean, why would you totally overlook, like, great actors like, I mean, you're talking about
like who? See, you're having a hard time.
Things that were just
you're having a hard time thinking of them. Name me a better actor than Dean Jones. Go ahead, quick.
Malcolm McDowell.
You can't.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think that's a stretch.
Blow Dean Jones right off the screen.
Wait a minute. Malcolm McDowell and Dean Jones.
Something that well and that and. Yeah. In that, you know, entirety.
Okay, you're saying Malcolm McDowell, like Caligula, was that good? Not. You know, big embarrassment for his career.
What do you call Herbie the Love Bug?
I mean, I will say this. He's had some pretty big embarrassments for himself.
Wait a second, he's not even showed up since then. Wait a second. As a pure statement, Herbie the Love Bug is superior to Caligula. And I'll tell you why. Because Caligula was a debacle. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it was a piece of crap. Herbie the Love Bug, pure, on the mark. They got what they wanted scene for scene. Got what they wanted out of the script scene for scene.
So Herbie the Love Bug is superior to Caligula.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this question, sir.
Jesus.
When somebody sits down and they watch Herbie the Love Bug, what do they learn when they come out of that?
I think they're getting a backdoor look at evil.
Herbie the Love Bug? Pure evil,
yeah.
Who's evil in that movie? I'm sorry.
I think what you're looking at, I don't understand what you're trying to say. Well, because I think what you're looking at there is, well, there is good and bad in every film. You're looking at a tension between good and bad. The opposing race car drivers, I mean, you're looking at the kid's point of view. The opposing race car drivers were trying to sabotage Herbie the Love Bug. So you're looking at pure evil.
Pure evil in Herbie the Love Bug.
That's right. And you guys need to broaden, I think, your view, and I think you need to broaden your ability to see these things, Phil.
All right, well, I'm not saying that Dean Jones is a lousy actor. What I'm saying is the vehicles that he chose as an actor are anything but outstanding examples of writing and storytelling. That's all. I mean, you're just not going to get me to believe that Herbie the Love Bug is a superior concept to Caligula.
I'm not saying the concept. I'm saying the execution. Herbie the Love Bug kicks ass on Caligula.
All right, here's West L.A. on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, I wanted to ask this gentleman if he thinks that the Shaggy D.A. is the best film in all of the millennium, then in his argument, then, of course, Dean Jones far surpasses Laurence Olivier, Catherine Hepburn, John Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore. So Dean Jones is the epitome of all of the great actors of the last millennium. Is that
correct? The only way you can tell a great actor is how well he wraps himself in the character that he's playing. Okay.
Regardless of the film, I think that
Dean Jones, pound for pound, movie for movie, committed more to his characters than Laurence Olivier did to his, yes.
Oh, come on.
Are you on crack tonight?
No, ma'am. If you think about it and you use my definition of what great acting is, I think you'd agree.
Dean Jones played the most surface characters in Disney comedies, which were fine for what they were, but Laurence Olivier, Jimmy Stewart, Shaggy D.A. surpasses It's a Wonderful Life.
There's
correct?
A good thing. Jimmy Stewart and Dean Jones, what's the difference there? Really, seriously.
Jimmy Stewart can play a variety of characters, a chameleon-like actor.
Chameleon-like? I don't know the difference between the character he played in It's a Wonderful Life and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. What's the difference between those two characters?
The same stuttering kind of talk,
the same halting kind of speech, the same old gee scratching the back of the head thing. What are you talking about?
Well, those two films, those two roles happen to be similar, but Jimmy Stewart is...
All right, how about Jimmy Stewart in Spirit of St. Louis versus It's a Wonderful Life? Same guy.
What about Laurence Olivier in Wuthering Heights and all of the roles that he played throughout the years? Catherine Hepburn, who happens to be my favorite. So therefore, in your mind, Dean Jones, Citizen Kane as an example, so Shaggy D.A. would be far surpassed Citizen Kane, correct?
I'm saying
correct?
That Citizen Kane.
Yes, Citizen Kane, correct?
So are you talking about that? Wait a minute, Citizen Kane, that was Orson Welles. That was Orson Welles.
So what?
I thought we were talking about actors.
Well, let's get to movies. The lady's bringing up Citizen Kane.
That was the whole topic. Phil was asking you, what are the best films of the millennium? You said Shaggy D.A.
So you're giving up
number one.
You're giving up on Jimmy Stewart. That's encouraging. I'm glad to see that. Okay. Number two. All right, let's talk about Citizen Kane.
All right.
Do you know that movie is probably the most overrated film ever?
But we're talking about in comparison to Shaggy D.A.
I think that Citizen Kane, I walked out of Citizen Kane bewildered.
That's
I didn't know what I'd just
simpleton.
Seen.
That's because
well,
you're a simpleton.
Well, okay, I'm a simpleton, huh?
Yes.
Calling me names.
Well, it's clear that you're
calling
a simpleton.
Calling me names.
So, of course, Citizen Kane would be so far above you that you couldn't possibly decipher.
What was it about? What was it about? Go ahead, tell me what was Citizen Kane about.
And let me tell you
what was it about. Tell everybody what Citizen Kane was about.
I'm not saying that
you don't even know what that movie was about. I can tell you what Shaggy D.A. was about, and to me, that's the essence of a film. How well does it communicate its story to the viewer?
The
I'm not some highbrow. I'm not some intellectual, okay? I'm talking about relating to the audience.
The difference between you and I is that you are coming on as some connoisseur of cinema.
I'm coming on as a real critic, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, a honest critic, and telling you honestly.
Then why haven't you chosen a gay film? You don't even have one gay film on your list.
It's got nothing to do with being gay.
Well, but you always define yourself as gay.
Well, I'm talking about, I always define myself as being gay?
Yes.
Oh, you've heard me before?
The fact that you say gay journalist, obviously.
Yeah, gay journalist. Gay man.
As a gay journalist and a gay man,
I've got to say Shaggy D.A., best movie ever.
Best movie ever.
My dear.
And you know what? I might even agree with you about Jimmy Stewart, okay? Jimmy Stewart, I didn't see much difference in the characters that he played either. But Laurence Olivier, or forget about those guys. Let's talk about a guy like Dustin Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about a guy like Rod Steiger.
Right.
Let's talk about actors like that.
What about Rod Steiger?
So Dean Jones.
Rod Steiger sucked.
Rod Steiger sucked.
Dustin Hoffman up. So therefore, all of those actors that you said.
I think Dean Jones.
Cagney, Steiger, Olivier, Stewart, the Barrymores, then Dean Jones.
I'll tell you right now, I think Dean Jones
far surpasses the Barrymores.
Barrymore.
All of the illustrious actors from the golden age of Hollywood.
Dean Jones wipes his ass with Lionel Barrymore, okay? Dean Jones.
Oh, come on. Get real.
No, I'm dead serious. Dean Jones wipes his rear end with Dustin Hoffman. As an actor, as a humanitarian, as a performer, and as just a human being.
As a gay journalist, then why are there no
gay films on
your list? Oh, I see.
So Dean
Jones.
Okay, we heard that question already, lady, and I think he's answered it. So Dean Jones is a better man than Dustin Hoffman.
That's right. Not only is he a better actor, he's just a better guy.
Okay, Doug.
Let's dismiss me, huh?
No, I'm not going to dismiss you. I'm going to put you on hold here. I'll give the phone number out again. Dean Jones wipes his ass, excuse me, with Lionel Barrymore. Hey, look, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, Dean Jones, a very likable actor and a good, comedy actor in those Disney movies like that one caller pointed out. But you can't sit here and tell me that the guy is going to hold his own against a powerhouse like what, De Niro or Rod Steiger, who was one of my early favorites? I don't know. 1-800-520-1534. 1-800-520-1534. Phil Henry Show. Henry here, 1-800-520-1534. Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier, and we're talking about the top 10 movies of all time, and they're all Disney movies. And
well, Phil, there are reasons why, and you had mentioned that you wanted to know what my reasons were for picking Disney movies, and they're very, very simple.
Yeah, but you're not only picking Disney movies here, but you're also saying that Dean Jones was, and this is a very uncomfortable position to be in to talk about the man's talent in a disparaging manner.
Well, then maybe you should watch how you talk about him, okay? Dean Jones is every bit as much a viable actor as any other actor. I think he committed himself to the characters he played wonderfully. I think that for what those films were, Dean Jones did his job in those movies. He made those scenes work. That's what a good actor does. And the lady's talking about the Barrymores. I don't think anybody listening to this show tonight knows who the hell it is she's talking about. And
well, if you saw It's a Wonderful Life, you saw Lionel Barrymore. If you saw Key Largo, you saw Lionel Barrymore.
Okay, and Drew Barrymore. Hey, there's a good one, too. But the point I'm trying to make here, Phil, is that Disney movies were good movies. Now, number two, I live in Orange County, California. I know who's the number one employer in Orange County. So I am not about to put together a list of movies that is anything other a list of Disney movies as the top movies of the last 100 years or 1,000 years, because Disney is a major player. Now, you may not get it, and a lot of your listeners who don't live in Orange County, California, or who do not live in Orange County, Florida, where Disney World is located and the Disney Studios in Florida are located, they may not get it. But those of us who live in Orange County, California, we get it. And those of us who live in Orange County, Florida, we get it. And that is this: that Disney is a major player in employing people, that Disney, was it not for Disney, there would be hardly any economy in either one of those two places. And I am not about to rock the boat just so you and your listeners can have a little bit of a thrill and name all of these other films that will only serve to piss off the people of Disney.
So you're on here as a writer, and you're listing all of these Disney movies because you don't want Disney getting angry at you. And
no, because I'm pointing up the reality of the situation here in Orange County, California. That Disney's a major employer. Disney's a major player. They've done a hell of a lot for the people down here. I'm not about to stab them in the back. And the same thing goes for Disney out in Florida, too. Now, maybe you and some of your listeners don't show the kind of loyalty that perhaps you should to a certain product brand. There is, you know, Walt Disney and the Disney Creative Company created some of the greatest movies of the last 1,000 years. So I'm, you know, all I'm doing here is pointing out their role in history.
Okay, but they didn't make the 10 greatest movies of all time. They didn't make the 10 greatest films of the last 1,000. And by the way, films have only been around for 100 years. So saying the top 10 movies of the millennium is a little stupid, okay? Let's say that...
Well, you can call it stupid. We were doing a millennium show, right?
Yeah, we're doing a millennium show, but I don't want to... You can't... Yeah, we're doing a millennium show, but you can't say the top 100 movies of the last 1,000 years. They only started making movies about 100 years ago.
All right, I see your point, but that's what you wanted me to do.
All right, but if you see my point, it's a little stupid. The top 10 movies of the millennium. The top 10 movies of the last 100 years will do fine. These movies that you're mentioning are only about 40 years. The oldest one on here is about 40 years old. I mean, Flubber is... goes back to what, 62?
I think it's about 1961.
That's how it says 40 years. Shaggy D.A., 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Well, I guess that's a 50s movie. All of these movies are Disney movies, and you point them up because Disney is a big employer?
Because you don't live in Orange County, I do. I know which side of the bread the butter's on, my friend. And I'm not about to piss off a major employer, okay? And I'm not about to go against a company that revitalized the economy in Orange County, California, as well as Orange County, Florida. There would be no Orlando Magic. There wouldn't be no Orlando nothing if it wasn't for Disney. And the same holds true for Anaheim, California. So I'm telling you that what I'm doing is being loyal to a company. And I also know, like I said, I know what side of the bread my butter's on. Okay, I'm not about to, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, stab anybody in the back.
I just don't think it's stabbing somebody in the back, to be honest, and say that not all 10 films that are the best of the century were Disney movies.
Well, I would consider that great disloyalty to Walt Disney and to his company. I'm not about to stab him in the back like so many people have.
And I don't think that you're being loyal to him by being dishonest. The top 10 movies of all time: Lion King, 101 Dalmatians, Old Yeller, Mary Poppins, Snow White, Flubber, Tron, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and the number one movie of all time, The Shaggy D.A.
That's right.
You really feel that?
I really do.
Well, let me ask you something. How come Darby O'Gill and the Little People didn't make it?
I thought it was a little heavy-handed. I didn't think that
Oh, I see. It was a little heavy-handed. I see. So
I thought that the script needed some fine-tuning. I didn't think it was Walt's best effort.
Darby O'Gill and the Little People didn't quite make the cut, huh? But Flubber's right in there. Why not Absent-Minded Professor?
Absent-Minded Professor is the only time I can think where the sequel was better than the original. I was riveted during Flubber, but Absent-Minded Professor, I think it was spotty.
Yeah, you were riveted for Flubber.
Yeah, what's the matter, man? Can't you have any fun? You know, your sarcasm, I can see. You can't have any fun. That's your problem.
Yeah, you're right, man. I'm just a curmudgeon.
Yeah, go out and see Bedknobs and Broomsticks and have a good time. Better yet, sit on one.